You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Amen. Well, Brother Tony will probably help me before I get to the end of the sermon anyway, so I may need a little help tonight. So, well, hadn't that been good, the singing? And I love everything about America. The flag, the freedom. I'm telling you, I love our president. I thank God. God has been good to this nation. And I really believe this tonight. I believe that if you look what's happening in our country, we are seeing a political revival in our country. And if the church will wake up and have spiritual revival, I think God heard the prayers of His people this past year. And God is letting us see that He has heard our prayers and He has answered our prayers. And if we will wake up and if we'll seek Him, there's no telling what God may do in days to come. America is not a lost cause tonight. Amen. There's still hope. Amen. And I thank God. And I've never been more proud to be an American and to be a Christian than what I am tonight. Amen. And I appreciate North Valley Baptist Church. I appreciate Pastor Treiber and his wife and family. And I've never been to this church that what I've not been helped. And I thank God for the presence of the Lord. I thank God for His people, amen, and for this church and for all the work and the dedication that goes in weeks and months before this meeting even comes to pass, just so that we could come and get help. Hadn't God been so good to us? And I praise the Lord for that. Preacher, thank you again for letting me come. And yeah, I want to read one verse of Scripture that is on my heart out of the book of Judges, chapter 3. And I'll be honest with you, I was on my way over here, I thought to myself, well, this sermon, you know, it's amazing how we try to tell God what we need to do, but I said, this sermon, I don't know if it really fits the cause, but after all the singing about America and after all the things that was said tonight, I'm so glad the Lord knows exactly what He's doing, amen, and He knows how to put things together. So I ask you to pray with me and for me tonight that the Lord would help us and that the will of God would be done tonight. If you're able to stand in reverence to the Word of God, we'll read one verse of Scripture and then pray, and then you can be seated. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 31. The Bible says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Father, Lord, I want to thank you tonight for what we have heard and what we have felt in this place. I want to thank you tonight for the presence of God that has been here during the singing. Lord, how we've been encouraged and how we've been strengthened tonight and just been reminded of what a great country we live in. Lord, you have blessed this nation. You have been good to us. And we want to thank you for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. So many things tonight that we have been reminded of. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you reach further down than what we could ever reach up. And we ask you now, Lord, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word. I pray the Holy Spirit would do the work that's needed in every heart that is here tonight. Most of all, I pray that you would get glory and honor. Help us not to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit in any way. But God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that your Son would be magnified, and may the church be edified tonight. Lord, I ask most of all that we would see no man save Jesus only, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice this man in verse 31 by the name of Shamgar. And he's an interesting person because he's only found two places in the Word of God. He's found here in Judges 3 and verse 31, and then he's found a second time in Judges chapter 5 and verse number 6. And if you'll notice this verse with me, there are just several things that stands out. His place, for instance, stands out. The Bible says here, "And after him was Shamgar. Shamgar's place is that he is the third judge of Israel. He is not first, he is not second, but he is third. And then his person is mentioned, because when you think about the name Shamgar, you have to ask yourself, what does Shamgar mean? Well, the name means stranger. And that may not mean a whole lot right now, but I think it'll mean more the further we go into this sermon. So here is a man whose name simply means stranger. And then the Bible mentions his parents. Here, he is the son of Anath. And when you think about Shamgar and you think about his father, the one thing that both of them have in common in the scriptures is that there's not a lot said about either one of them. They're just a small, significant, small little part mentioned about Shamgar and his father. And so the Bible mentions his parent. And then it mentions his position here, how that he slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. He also delivered Israel. Now I want to tell you about his position. He was not looking for a position. He was not seeking a position, but God anointed him and God appointed him for the time and the place which we find him here in the field in these scriptures. And when we come to this text here and we think about this man by the name of Shamgar, there's so much that we could say about him and how that God can tell us so much about one person in just one verse of scripture. You say, what do you mean? Well, I want you to think about his opposition in this text here. The Bible said that after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines. Now, that's interesting, because Shamgar faces the same old enemy that God's people has always faced. The Philistines were the enemy of God, and they were the enemy of God's people. They never gave up. Though David fought them, Saul had fought them, and others had fought them, you know what the Philistines do? They just keep coming back. They're a picture and a type of the world. And can I tell you tonight, the world's not going to quit. Amen? The world's going to keep coming back. You may conquer the world today, but you'll be sure to face the world again tomorrow. And so we think about the opposition. Our opposition is in this world. In fact, James said that whosoever would be a friend of this world would be the enemy of God, because the world system and the world in and of itself is the enemy of God. In fact, Jesus said, if the world hates me, they're going to hate you also. And so we see his opposition. And then we have to think about his odds in this verse. The Bible said he slew 600 men. Now, you've got to rewind the story just a little bit. And when you think about it, here's one man standing in a field, Brother Hudson, and here comes at least 600 men. There's possibly could have been 800 to 1,000, but we know that he slew 600. And just when you go back and think about it, if you and I, we're not betting people tonight, I know that, but if I was going to lay down a bet on some odds, and the odds were 600 to 1, can I be honest with you? I don't care who the one is. I'm not betting on him. Amen. What I'm saying is the odds are against him. Do you realize that? The Philistines are bigger than this man. The Philistines are badder than him. I mean, it looks like he doesn't have any hope whatsoever. And so we think about his odds. Amen. But we have to look at the outcome of this verse, because the Bible said that he slew 600 men. And then it goes on to say that he delivered Israel. Isn't this a great story? I mean, it's just one verse, but I'm going to be honest with you, it's a great story. I mean, I like an underdog, don't you? I mean, I like it when the odds are stacked against somebody and it looks like, brother, there's no way and there's no hope. I mean, here's a man out in the middle of a field all by himself, and here comes 600 men over the horizon. I mean, I can see, listen, his a lump in his stomach already. He knows it doesn't look like, I mean, if there was ever an underdog in the Bible, it'd be this man right here. But to our surprise, he kills 600 men. Wouldn't you like to meet that man? I mean, if an Israelite was to come in here tonight and tell us, I slew 600 Hamas by myself. I mean, it sounds something like a fifth grader or a five-year-old would make up, probably a fifth grader, amen? We wouldn't believe that. The only reason, and you say, preacher, do you believe it? Oh, I believe every bit of it. I wouldn't believe it if somebody else told me, but I'll tell you, I believe this story. You know why? Because it's in the Bible. Amen.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how big the odds are. It doesn't matter how bad the enemy is. I like what the songwriter said when he said, how can we lose the battle when we got God on our side? Amen. And brother, if God be for us, you tell me who could be against us tonight. Amen. But there's something interesting in this verse that I want to preach on a few minutes tonight. It's not only the opposition, the odds, and the outcome, but I want you to notice the ox goad here. The Bible said that he slew the Philistines, 600 men, notice this, with an ox goad. Now, I was reading that the other day, preacher, and I don't know. I mean, I didn't grow up on a farm, but we had about six or seven gardens a year, and so I didn't plow with mules, amen, like Brother Hudson, but I used a Troy-built tiller, amen, growing up all the time. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what an ox goad was. I had to look it up. You know what an ox goad is? Real simple tonight. It's a big old stick. That's what it is. An ox goad is a big old stick that has a sharp point on the end of it. Now, I'm sorry, I can't impress you with anything else. It's just a stick. But it's a big stick. And what they would do is when they were out there plowing that field, they'd take that ox goad, and while that plower's a plowing, amen, them oxen or whatever, they're like Baptists sometimes, you know, they get a little stubborn, don't want to move, amen. And so they'd take that ox goad, you know, and he'd poke them, amen, and he'd prod them, and he'd use that ox goad to keep them going, amen. I mean, that's what the ox goad is. It's just it's a big old stick. And when I thought about this text, here's a man, he's not a soldier, he's not a politician, he's a farmer. And he's out in the middle of a field. He's only mentioned two times in the Word of God. In fact, there's not a lot said about Shamgar. He has a small place in the Scriptures. He was small in the eyes of the enemy, but he was tall in the eyes of God. He's a humble man. But if you go to the end of this story, when 600 Philistines are lying dead out in a field somewhere, and here stands a farmer with a big stick, I thought to myself, you know, I believe when Shamgar walked off that field, preacher, I think he was walking tall, and I think he was carrying a big stick. Amen? And that's what I want to preach on a few minutes tonight, on walking tall and carrying a big stick. You see, what do you mean by that? Well, I think about some of the preachers that was mentioned tonight. I think about Brother Lester Roloff and Brother Jack Hiles and Brother Curtis Hudson and Brother Bobby Robertson and Brother Sammy Allen. And we could talk about Brother Oliver B. Green and Brother Harold Seidler. Those were men, they were humble just like this man. But I'm going to tell you something, in our eyes and our minds, when we think about it, they walked tall, amen? And they carried a big stick, didn't they? I'm going to tell you tonight, in these last days, what we need is we need some men of God that'll be small in their own eyes so they can be tall in the eyes of God, and they can walk tall and they can carry a big stick in these last days and go on for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now this ox goad's important because the weapon that he uses reveals the warrior. Everything that the ox goad is, it's who Shamgar is. In fact, without the ox goad, Shamgar is absolutely nothing. But when you look at the ox goad, you know who you see? You see Shamgar. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, hold on. I'll say with this. You think about Shamgar, he's standing in that field. You know what he has? He has an ox goad in his hand. And while he's holding that ox goad in his hand, guess what? There's somebody a bigger hand. There's an unseen hand that's holding Shamgar in his hand. What Shamgar does not know is that ox goad is going to be a very valuable tool that he's going to need on this day. But he also doesn't know that he also is going to be a tool in somebody else's hand. For what the ox goad is who Shamgar is. You say, can you illustrate that? I would say it like this. When you think about the ox goad is just simple, isn't it? I mean, it's just a stick. That's all you can say about it. Well, when you think about Shamgar, there there's nothing special about him. Listen, he's just a simple farmer, amen. But just like he's about to use that ox goad for something great, God's about to use him. You know, God used him because he was simple, amen. And then that ox goad is silent. See, that ox goad doesn't say anything in verse 31, but it sure is doing a whole lot, amen. And Shamgar's not saying anything, but thank God he sure is doing a whole lot. You know, we got a lot of people like to talk a whole lot, but they do very little, amen. Hey, this is a workers' conference, isn't that right? What that means is you got to be willing to work. We got too many people saying and not enough people doing, amen. What we need is some people to get busy and to do something for God, amen. That ox goes silent, but it sure is working, ain't it? And then I like this, an ox goat, it is straight. I mean, it's just straight. It's not going to bend. It's not going to waver. It's just straight. And so is Shamgar. That ox goat is sharp, meaning it's ready to be used. And I'll tell you, Shamgar's ready to be used. He's ready to go to battle, amen. That ox goat is scarred. When you think about it, after 600 men have fallen, you know that ox goat, that stick, it has to be bloody. It has been beaten. It's been battered. No doubt it's been skinned. It bears the wounds of the battle that it was on. And so does the man that used it, amen. I'm telling you, they were scars on him just like there was on that stick. I'm talking about the weapon reveals the warrior. In the end, it was successful because it got the job done. When you think about it, the ox goad is just like Shamgar's name. It's strange. Who goes to battle with the stick? Amen. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a spear. He's got a stick. I mean, it's the oddest thing when you think about it. I'll tell you, this ox goat, as unique as it was and as unlikely as it would ever be fit to be used, it was used in the battle, and it was used unbelievably. I mean, it's amazing. It's not just amazing that he killed 600 men. It's amazing what he killed them with, amen. Can I tell you something tonight? This right here. This is simple to this world because it looks like just another book to them. And to this world, it is silent. It is nothing more when the world looks at it tonight. It is nothing more than black words on white paper. Oh, but we know it to be more than that. I want to say tonight, this is straight, just like the ox goat. I want to tell you tonight, this is sharp, just like the ox goat. In fact, it's sharper than any two-edged sword that any Philistine out there would ever come toward us. Amen? I'm telling you this thing tonight, it is steadfast. That ox goat never broke. It endured the entirety of the battle. And can I tell you something tonight? This will endure the test of time. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm telling you, this old book will keep on standing. I'm telling you, man of God, keep on preaching. You can stand and you can stay as long as you stay with this book. Hallelujah. And this book, this ox goad, is strange. The world cannot figure out how we can overcome them. But it's what we're holding on to tonight. I don't see anywheres in this verse. I thought about this a while ago, sitting there. I don't see anywheres in this verse, Brother Tony, where Shamgar, and I don't know why he would, well, I think I might know why. Just now thought about why he might have done this. We'll see how it goes, okay? But I sit over and I thought about, you know, he killed 600 men, and not one time did he ever pick up one of their swords. I mean, it would have just stood to reason. You take a few of them down. Hey, that looks a whole lot sharper and shinier. But he never picked up the Philistine sword to kill one of them with. You know what he did? He just stuck with what he started out with. I mean, it kept on working. It kept on working, so he didn't change. I'm going to tell you tonight, we don't need their ESV. We don't need their NIV. We don't need their corrupt text. Amen. I'm telling you, this will still work. Hallelujah. This old King James Bible, it'll still get the job done. Amen. Just keep on keeping on. Amen. He didn't pick up one of their swords. He might have thought, well, it didn't work too good for them. I'm walking pretty tall, carrying a big stick. It's working pretty good for me. Hey, how's that King James Bible working for you tonight? I'm going to tell you, it's what got me in the kingdom of God. It's what we built our home on, our marriage on. It's what we've raised our children on. It's what we built our ministry on. I love the old Bible, the old God's wonderful book, divine. Don't you thank God? You ought to just wave that King James Bible and thank God tonight. It still works. It'll still win the battle, and it'll finish and do when you're dying. Hallelujah. I don't know if Shamgar knew how to even use a sword, but I know he knew how to use an ox goad. He knew how to use a stick. And I looked at this text and I thought to myself, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you put this man in this position? I mean, seriously, why would you use this man? You could have used a soldier. You could have used a politician. I think you could have. You could have used an army, but use a farmer with a stick to take down 600 men. I'll give you three reasons tonight why I believe Shamgar was walking tall and carrying a big stick. I want to say number one, I think it was because he was common. He was a common man. You see, Shamgar, like I said, was just like this stick that was in his hand. He was just as simple as what the stick was. He was just as silent. He wasn't looking for a fight. He wasn't looking for a battle. You know what he was doing? He was just out there plowing his field, doing what he is supposed to be doing. But I'll tell you something tonight. If you plow your field, if you serve God, if you live for Him, if you abide in your calling, you can rest assured tonight the Word is going to come after you. There's going to be a battle that's going to come. If you live for God and if you serve God tonight, the enemy will get you in his crosshairs. He will come after you. And he's just a common man. He's not looking for a fight, but I'll tell you something else about him. He's not going to run from a fight neither. Amen. And this man, as simple as he is, God just as well use him as use anybody else, because in the end, we know that it really wasn't Shamgar that did this. We know that it was God that did this. I'm going to tell you, Pastor, look around. Who would have ever thought God would have used you? Who would have ever thought God would have used me? I mean, we're the most unlikely, aren't we? We're just like the stick and just like the servant in this text. I'm glad God uses common people. I'm glad God uses simple things. I'm telling you tonight, what made Shamgar great, what made the ox goat great, was the one whose hands they were in. And I'm going to tell you, when God puts his hand on you, you may be common, you may be ordinary, but you'll be able to do the extraordinary. God ain't looking for talent, and I thank God for it tonight. God ain't looking for talent. He uses talent, doesn't he? But if he was just looking for talent, some of us would be left out. God ain't looking tonight for popularity or recognition. God is not looking tonight for someone that is highly favored. No, God is looking for some little boy or some little girl. God is looking for some young adult tonight who feels as if, well, I don't know what I could ever do for God, but if I could just do anything for God, I'm willing to do something for God. I'm telling you, that's the person that God is looking for. He'll walk over a whole lot of talent. He'll walk over a whole lot of prestige. He'll walk all over a whole lot of things to just find somebody that's just common, that's just ordinary, that's just willing to be a tool in his hand. Yeah. like that ox goat. You see, tonight, our Savior was a common person when he walked on this earth. Born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, lived 30 years in obscurity, a carpenter's son. The King of Kings, the one that stood out on nothing the morning of creation, when everything was spoken into existence, every rock, every river, every tree, every meadow, the sun would bow to him, the moon would bow to him, the stars would praise him. But when he came into this world, the Bible said that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I want to say tonight, God uses common people. Preacher, you keep on plowing, you keep on preaching, you keep on serving, amen. God's got you where he wants you. The enemy in the world may hate you tonight, but God is using you in ways that you do not understand and do not know. And I'm going to tell you tonight, he uses common people. I think self-promotion has killed us in this generation. We cannot make much of ourselves and make much of God at the same time. We must be small so that he can be great. We must hide so that he can be seen. I'm saying the less people know about us, but the more they know about him, the greater the outcome is going to be. To God be all the glory. To God be all the praise. To him and to him alone, may he is worthy tonight of all the glory, of all the praise. I'm going to tell you, when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to outshine them all. Amen. I'm telling you, heaven's not going to be about me, and heaven's not going to be about you. But while the ages roll, thank God we're going to be praising him and glorifying him. Just a bunch of common sinners pulled out of the clutches of death, a rescue from hell, and thank God, but redeemed by the grace of God. Where did God find you? Maybe a Sunday school class. Maybe a church pew. Maybe a bus seat. Where did he find you? Where did he find you? You know where I'd probably be tonight had it not been for grace. I'd probably be on a bar stool. I never drank alcohol in my life, but had it not been for grace, that's probably where I'd be at. Or dead, or in hell, or in jail. Where would you be at tonight? I'm telling you, the greatest title we'll ever wear is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't it feel good to be redeemed tonight? Don't you thank God you're in the greatest family? You've been birthed by the greatest Spirit. You've been washed in the greatest blood. You're going to the greatest home. You have the greatest father with the greatest promises, with the greatest brother. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, we're just common people, but God uses common people. He was strong. Farmers are strong, aren't they? And he was sweaty, wasn't he? You know, Shamgar, before he got in this battle, he knew how to sweat. You know what that means? That means he knew how to work. He knew how to labor. You see, before you can ever get in the battle, you got to get in the field. Amen? You're no use in the battle. In fact, you'll run when the pressure gets up if you don't ever get out in the field. If you don't go on visitation, you can't be a missionary. I hit a stump. Let me go back. If you don't go on visitation, your local church visitation, you can't be a missionary. If you won't do nothing across the street, you're not going to do nothing across the sea. Is that right tonight? I'm talking about you got to work, amen. You got to labor. You can't be a pretty boy, amen, preacher. You got to get out there and sweat and work and labor. You see, what Shamgar didn't know is that while he had that ox goad out there and he was plowing up and down those fields, he's just doing what he's supposed to. And he's behind them oxen and he's prodding them. You know, that's what the preacher does to Baptists. We prod them and we push them, amen, when they won't move. And he's prodding and he's just plowing and he's just pushing. I mean, that's what his responsibility. There's no glory in that. He's just out there sweating and laboring and prodding and pushing. But what he does not know, preacher, is with every passing row that he goes, that God is looking down and God is conditioning him, because God knows over the horizon there's an enemy coming one day. There's 600 Philistines coming after him one day, and he's going to get up one morning and it's not going to be plow day. It's going to be fighting day. And so he's got him out there laboring and sweating and plowing those fields, because that's conditioning him for the battle. Amen. Hey, young preacher, before you get a church, you got to help build a Sunday school class. You say, why do I got to go on bus visitation? Because you got to do that before you can do anything else. Am I right tonight? I wouldn't give you a plug nickel with a hole bored out of it. For a young preacher that wouldn't labor and sweat and help their pastor, and then want to go out to pastor. Am I telling the truth tonight? I mean, you gotta learn to learn how to paint. So what's that got to do with ministry? Everything. In our church, if we don't clean it, we paint it. Amen. We're like the Navy. And we paint it again and we paint it again and we paint it again. If you'll see a piece of paper in the hallway and walk past it and not pick it up, you're not ready to pastor a church. Don't even think about pastoring a church. You say, well, what's that got to do with pastoring? Everything. Because when you're the pastor, you're the maintenance man, you're the janitor, you're the bus worker, you're everything. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to learn to sweat before you can get out there in the battle. Amen. And sweating will condition you for the battle. You can't be a lazy preacher. He was calm. And then secondly, I believe the Lord used him because he was courageous. Took courage to do what he did, didn't it? He's facing 600 men in this text. And they're coming after him. And I can see him here. As he sees them coming, he knows that there's more of them than there is of him. Hey, tonight, there's always been more of them than there is of us. Always. But can I tell you tonight, here's what he does. He sees those 600 men coming. And he does the only thing he knows to do. He stands. He's standing there with that ox goat. And here they're marching. They're coming. They're looking at him. I said, man, there's one man out in the field. There's 600 of us. We're going to mow him down. It won't even take 10 of us to do it. And with courage, he stands. But he stands alone. Sometimes you got to be willing to stand alone. He's standing alone. And I thought to myself, Shamgar, why didn't you run? Why are you standing all alone? I'll tell you why he didn't run. Because the answer is in that verse there. It's the last phrase. He also delivered who? Israel. You know why Shamgar stood alone? Because he knew somewhere down there, back in town and across the holler and down in the valleys, there's another generation down there. And Shamgar knew, if I run, I may die on this battlefield, but if I run, if I don't stand here, who else is going to stand? Somebody's got to stand, because that generation has no hope. And he didn't have nobody standing with, but he stood alone. I'll tell you something else. He stood aright, didn't he? He's on the right side of the battle. He stood correct. Hey, I don't like it when the odds are stacked against us, but if they're going to be against me, I want to be on the right side of the battle, don't you? I'd rather be outnumbered and be on the right side as to be with the crowd and be on the wrong side. Amen. I'll tell you what outnumbered that crowd was it when Shamgar looked at them. The need outnumbered the outnumbered. Amen. He knew there was a need to stand, and so he stood alone. But thank God he knew he was standing aright. He recognized the enemy. He said, "That's a bunch of Philistines." And he said, "I may die, but I'm not gonna turn. I'm not gonna run. I'm not gonna give in to the world." Hallelujah. You got to stand aright, preacher. That means you got to draw clear lines in the sand. You got to stand for this King James Bible.
Amen.
You got to stand for old time preaching.
Amen.
You got to stand for the right kind of music.
Amen.
You got to stand for the right kind of dress. You got to stand, my friend, for the right kind of things, that the principles and the doctrines of the Word of God. I'll tell you, he stood alone and he stood aright, but thank God he stood above, didn't he?
Amen.
Because here he is, and the enemy finally gets to him now. He has fear, but he has courage. And the only thing he's got is this ox goat, and he begins to fight. I think Shamgar probably thought, they're going to get me. But I'm going to get as many of them as I can before they take me down. Don't you like that? I mean, I like war, amen. I'm not saying I want to go to one tonight, but he's seen them coming. He said, I'm going to get as many of them as I can. And all of a sudden the battle rages. And he takes one down. And then he takes down five. And then to a surprise, 10 fall. And it wasn't too long, then 20 fall. And now 35 have fallen. And Shamgar is not even keeping count. He doesn't have time. He's just in the battle of his life. He's just using that ox goat any way that he can. And all of a sudden now 50 of them are gone. And he just keeps on fighting, thinking, who's going to take me down? Which one of them is going to get me? Before he knows, 100 of them is gone. They're laying there. He's fighting us with everything that he's got. He's up to 150, and now 200 of them have fallen down. They're down to 400 men, and Shamgar just keeps on fighting. He doesn't pick up another sword because this weapon's working pretty good. He doesn't know where all this power's coming from. He never used an ox goad like this. I mean, listen, but I'm telling you, listen, he's using that thing, and to his own amazement, they can't get the best of him, and now he's up to 200 of them is gone, and 250 is gone. I don't know about you, but I think when he hit 300 or maybe 301, and he looked around and he saw all of a sudden, wait a minute, there's more of them laying on the ground than there is standing. I think a little bit more courage rose up in his heart. I believe with every Philistine he took down, I believe there was that much more courage to keep on fighting and to keep on going and to take them on down. See, you don't defeat the world in one blow. You defeat them one day at a time. Now he's up to 400. 400 dead men in that field. And by this time, I think he's twirling that ox goat around. I mean, like he thinks he's Bruce Lee now, you know. I mean, he's just like, come at me, fellas. I mean, he's just stabbing them and staking them and taking them down. I mean, he doesn't even know where all these moves are coming from. Now he's up to 500. He's 100 of them left, and now he's got them on the run. And he ain't backing up. He's not going to finish till he's got them all down. 550, 575, 585, 590. There's 10 left. He said, boys, you ain't got a prayer. You might as well drop dead right now. Amen. I'm telling you, he's down, and he's down to the last one. Can you imagine when the last one falls? Here's Shamgar. He's in the middle of that field. He started plowing. The enemy came, but now they're all dead. And it's just him and an ox goat and God. I don't know if he ever prodded another ox with it again. But I believe he looked at it differently. And Shamgar, if he knew anything, he knew this. He knew it wasn't Shamgar. He knew God had given him the victory. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. God is still able,
amen,
to give you the victory.
Amen.
Pastor, you ought to ask God for big things at your church. You ought to write them down. And you ought to never quit asking God for them. Sunday school teacher, you ought to ask God for some big things for your class. If you got 30 seats, you ought to pray that all 30 of them are full. You ought to go by and pray over every one of them and say, God, fill this seat and fill this seat and fill this seat. And you ought to ask God, you ought to pray for big things. Oh, the world will come at you tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I don't know what Shamgar was thinking, but I know he must have been thinking this much. There's more of them than there is me. But little by little, faith was increased as the ox goad gave him the victory. Now I'll say this tonight. Moses had a rod, didn't he? God used that stick. And when I read this text tonight, it reminds me of another man who had a stick. A man in the New Testament. A man who was every bit as simple as Shamgar. He was silent. In fact, the Bible says that he opened not his mouth. I think about a man that he was common, as I mentioned earlier, and he was courageous. He set his face toward Jerusalem like a flint. I think about a man who was committed. Shamgar was committed, wasn't he? He faced the enemy. He fought to the end. He finished the effort that was before him. He won the battle because he did not quit. He was committed, and our Lord was committed. And Jesus, with an ox goad, a stick, two sticks, on his shoulder, walked through the streets of Jerusalem. Through that Via Dolorosa, he carried the cross outside the city to Calvary's brow. And he laid it down. And with that stick, those sticks, he laid his life down. And they suspended that stick between heaven and hell. And Jesus, there on the cross that day, he suffered it all. But thank God he paid it all that day. And victory, you know where it was won at? It was won at Calvary. The cross in and of itself was not anything, because many men had carried crosses and died and nothing had ever been happened. But what made the cross so effective was the Christ of the cross, the Christ of Calvary. I want to say tonight, our Shamgar went to Calvary's hillside. And I thank God he took the sins of all humanity and laid it upon his back. And with his own blood, he defeated the world, the flesh, and the devil. He brought the enemy down. Hell received a crushing blow. And 3 days later, he come out of the grave victorious. And thank God, victory is ours because of him tonight. You don't have to live in defeat. You can live in victory. Because you have an ox goad. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Preaching will get the job done. You say, what do you got at y'all's church? We got preaching. And more preaching. And more preaching. I told them yesterday at the church, I've been praying about it. Our Jubilee's coming up. Your pastor comes and preaches every year and does a wonderful job. Our church is kind of good church, great church. They, nothing negative to say about our church. But they agreed with this 100% yesterday. We just kind of been struggling. You know what I'm saying? Saturday morning, I got up. I had a meeting that canceled the week before Jubilee, and I had a couple pastors that had said, if you get a cancellation, call me. And I started to call them, and the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. He said, I want you to have revival the week before Jubilee. And when I told the church yesterday, I said, listen, I said, we're just going to have revival. We're going to start on Sunday, and we're going to have revival Saturday night. And we're going to run all the way up to Jubilee. I said, let's pray for revival. You know what I've seen God do more times than I can remember? I've seen when the church, God's people, have been struggling. I've seen God send messengers and send messages that has delivered us more times than I can ever remember.
I could tell you of times, and I won't, but I could, and every preacher could do this tonight, but I could tell you of times that I went to the pulpit that I didn't have it in me to preach. There was no strength there to preach. I wanted to preach, but I didn't feel like, I just felt so empty. You ever been there? Or maybe you was hurting. Maybe you was hurting for your spouse. Maybe you was hurting for one of your children. Maybe you was hurting for your church. And you thought, how am I ever going to stand? Maybe you just lost someone or something happened in your church. And it so sucked the life out of you. You thought, how am I going to stand here and even preach? Amen. But then I grabbed this ox goad. It's amazing the strength that comes from the ox goad. And I think about the mornings when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know how you get to that? You know how you get to that rock? Through this book. God can hang one verse on your heart. And I'm telling you, you can run more than 40 days in it, friend. It'll carry you through the darkest times of your life. I remember one morning, I fell on my knees. I said, God, would you please help me? I need help. Oh, in a valley. I'd been in for 2 years and couldn't get out of that valley. And that morning, I remember when I got up, the devil, I was going down the hallway to my office, and the devil said, you're in a vice and you're not getting out of this. It scared me, preacher. And I just fell on my knees. And I said, God, please, would you help me? And God hung one verse on my heart that brought me through that valley. Right then and there, he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That book is so powerful. There's not a problem. There's not a fear, there's not a struggle, there's not a heartache, there's not an emotion in this room tonight that book can't lift you up and bring you out. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.